There's an Ego Poetics Manifesto on page 29. I would love for you to read that.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
I will. So this is the Angie I was just alluding to. Eco Poetics Manifesto, a draft for Angie. At times, a poem might enact qualities brought from romantic poetry through Baudelaire to modernism and beyond. Freedom of form, expressivity, and content, taking these to a radical intensity with uncertainty, complexity, contradiction. Such a poem employs knowledge from diverse disciplines, including scientific vocabularies, but it does not privilege only the human. Research includes rural and urban wilds, as well as knowledge from all cultures. Creative forms bring together earth and spirit, rejecting no sources, including the personal. Its energies shuttle across binaries, realism, non-realism, rationality, irrationality, refuting received authority. Such a poem, like an animal, could graze or hunt in its time, exploring each word, carrying symbolic rhythms, syntax, and images directly between dream and myth. The imagination does not reject the spirit world. Then a poem is its own action, performing practical miracles, the miracle of language roots, to return with lexical adventures, the miracle of perception to honor the senses, the miracle of nameless feeling to reflect the weight of the subjective, the contours of emotion, the miracle of the social world to enter into collective bargaining with the political and the social. And though powerless to halt the destruction of bioregions, the poem can be brought away from the computer. The poet can accompany acts of resistance so the planet won't die of the human.
These collective bargaining agreements are like with your neighbor here.
Yeah, exactly.
The ones who grew their trees and blocked your view illegally.
Yeah. Well, it's a negotiation because... you know, they are giving permission to the trees to take as much of their natural form as they could, although they were topped at one point. We've had the worst of both worlds with that because they look like a sawed-off hedge and we still can't see over the top. But the collective bargaining idea is, you know, that we know we're not going to achieve the perfect balance. Things have gone too far with technology and industry, and obviously protecting natural habitats and the non-human habitats isn't going to happen, but we can negotiate settlements in some way so that we're not completely
denuded.
Yeah. Right before this, I was listening to a program about, you know, just California water politics, which is the groundwater, you know, and the aquifer, and what's happened to the aquifer in the drought is really astonishing, you know. And now they're doing all kinds of plea bargaining with the oil companies and the oil industry to see. And they were talking in this moving and horrifying way on forum about, you know, the 11 aquifers and which of the 11 aquifers is screwed up enough so that we can now put the toxic stuff into it. You know, which are too far gone, so let's just go ahead and screw it up the rest of the way. And I was going like, where my hair? You know?
And you think of California water politics, you think of Chinatown, the movie Chinatown.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hideous.
You know, when you talk about manifestos, and yours is not a manifesto, it's a manifesto.
Manifesto,
and
right.
I realize that distinction. Manifestos seem to me like a male thing. Uh-huh. And theory, you know, for the most part, kind of a male thing and maybe even kind of a passé thing. But you did this, and it's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
So, I mean, is it a... What do you think about the gender aspect to manifestos?
Well, I agree with you, and in part I was teasing the form because it's, you know, I think of André Breton or, you know, the various avant-gardes over the last couple hundred years where, you know, I'm going to say what I think and make these big preachy pronouncements, and then there'll be, you know, six or seven pages of the our manifesto, and here's what we stand for. And the Futurist Manifesto is completely hilarious because, you know, it includes like violent reaction to all kinds of things. So I liked the idea of making something really succinct, and believe this or not, it's probably like 40 years of my thinking about it. Like part of what interested me in the composition of this book was that I wanted to do everything on one, as much as possible on one page, so that each poem has everything I wanted to say. Because often with sequence poetry, you feel as if the writer is saying, well, I'm going to write a sequence on this, and they give themselves, 40 pages to with an ongoing. And I love the idea of sequences and write them a lot myself. But in this book, I wanted to make sure as much as possible to squeeze every bit of knowledge I had on each page. So this poem is really my compressed poetics on a lot of subjects on one page,
which could explain the potency of it.
The food metaphor I use is, you know, the soup cubes that you use to make your broth.
Bouillon.
Well, it's a bouillon cube of probably vegetarian of the soup stock. So if you put this in water, it'd probably be like several hundred pages. So.
I got it. Well, the fact is that you could graft out from each point if you were asked to do so.
Yeah.
Right.